It is our privilege once again to be able to open God's Word and to allow the Word of God to build us up in the most holy faith. I love God's Word. I know you love God's Word. We know that God's Word, according to Hebrews 4, verse number 12, is powerful. God's Word has the ability, Acts 20, verse 32, to build us up. If we're going to live the Christian life, and if we're going to receive strength, help, encouragement, those things that we talked about this morning, it's important to turn to God's Word. And if we're going to turn to God's Word and use the sword of the Spirit to help us in this spiritual warfare, we need to know something about the Bible. As you look at the Bible, you know that the Bible is made up of 66 books. And as you look at those 66 books, it's important to have a basic background of the Bible. You'll notice that as you look at the Old Testament, the Old Testament is made up of 39 books. The New Testament, 27 books. It's also important to look at the Old Testament and to be able to break down the Old Testament in a logical way. To understand the books of law, the books of history. To look at the prophets. To look at those books of poetry. It's also important to look at the Old Testament and to be able to sum it up with one phrase. Christ is coming. You see, as you study Galatians 3, verse 24, we learn that the old law would be that tutor or that schoolmaster that would lead one to Christ. When you look at the New Testament can be broken down into the life of Christ. As we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we're studying the life of Christ. And then we can turn to the book of Acts, and in the book of Acts, we learn how to be a Christian, how to become a Christian. The book of Acts is a book of conversions. Conversion after conversion after conversion. It teaches us again how to become a Christian. And then as you focus on Romans, going all the way through Jude, we see how to live as a Christian. Each one of those epistles, letters, were written to Christians. And again, God is emphasizing spiritual growth and God is teaching us how to live now that we become a Christian. And then we come to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation teaches us how to die as a Christian. And so you're beginning to see how powerful God's Word is. The Old Testament, the New Testament, one great story. Well, I want to go to a passage tonight, a passage that we see in the New Testament, in John chapter 4, verse 35. This is something that our Lord says while on earth. And you see really how this may fit into what we've just talked about concerning the book of Acts. In John chapter 4, verse number 35, Jesus says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. For they are white," Jesus says, "all ready to harvest." As you think about this particular verse, it really encourages all of us to become more evangelistic. To really take our marching orders seriously. We learn that God has given us marching orders as His people, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But Jesus reminds us of a very important truth right here in John 4, verse number 35. Again, the harvest, listen to what he says, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There are people out there that need to be saved. And that's why Jesus is encouraging us to be evangelistic. Again, there are people out there that need the gospel. But what kind of people make good candidates for the gospel? I want us to think about that question again. What kind of people make good candidates? And you stop and think about that. We want to turn to the book of Acts. Because again, the book of Acts is a book of conversions. And we really see what conversion looks like. We see how the seed, which is the Word of God, was sown in the fields, and how that seed was sown in the hearts of individuals. Again, the book of Acts gives us a good picture of what it looks like when we evangelize. To look upon the fields, for they are white, ready for harvest. And so again, what kind of people make good candidates? Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. And we turn to Acts chapter 2, we see those who were devoutly religious made good candidates for the gospel. We see again this in Acts chapter 2, religious people. In fact, as you're turning over there to Acts chapter 2, you'll notice in verse number 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now you go back to Acts chapter 2, you see the time period, the setting. It was Pentecost. And remember, the Jews would be gathering on these feast days to worship God. And so we're talking about religious people who gathered on the day of Pentecost. And when they gathered on the day of Pentecost to commemorate this feast day, we see an amazing thing happening. We see the apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. We see that Joel's prophecy was being fulfilled. And we see Peter and the apostles preaching Christ by going back to the Old Testament. Have you ever just gone through Acts chapter 2 and noticed all of the cross-references to the Old Testament, where Peter and the apostles are showing how Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament? How those Old Testament prophecies spoke of Him? And so as we continue to read Acts chapter 2, we see that in fact there were 3,000 souls that heard the gospel, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse number 37. In other words, they were asking, what do we need to do to be saved, to be in Jesus Christ? We see in verse number 38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of your Holy Spirit." Verse 41, "Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." 3,000 religious people on the day of Pentecost obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes, look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And the book of Acts really gives us a picture of what that looks like. of religious people hearing the gospel. Why is it so important that we lift up our eyes and think about what we just said from Acts chapter 2? Because our world, as you know it, is filled with religious people. There is religion everywhere, but not all religion is right with God. We understand that when we turn to the New Testament. People who are religious need to be converted. They need to obey Jesus Christ. Again, there are a lot of different religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, and on and on and on we can go. And then we look at the denominational world. Again, the world is filled with religious people who need to hear the truth that will set them free. You know, as I think about this point, religious people needing to be converted, needing to obey the gospel. Turn to this other example that's actually found in the book of Romans, but this certainly ties into to Acts chapter 2. But here in Romans 10, you see the Apostle Paul praying for his kinsmen, those who were lost outside of Christ. And I want you to think about what Paul says about his own kinsmen in Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have zeal of God, but listen to what he says, but it's not according to knowledge. In verse number 3, Paul says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Well, in simple terms, what is Paul saying? They're going about to establish their own righteousness. They're going about establishing their own religion. Their own, we might say, plan of salvation. Here are people, Paul says, that have zeal and they're going about doing things in a religious sense. But they're ignorant of the truth. They're ignorant of God's plan of righteousness. They have not obeyed the gospel. And so Paul was praying for lost people here, Romans 10, 1 through 2. Lost people, listen to it, who were religious. And so again, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. And when we think about that in a practical way, we see that there are a lot of religious people in the world that need to hear the gospel. God's plan of salvation. Let's turn now to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. When we think about what Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Again, in a practical way, who needs to hear the gospel? Who needs to obey the gospel? Well, we see in Acts 2, religious people. But think about Acts chapter 8. 4 through 12, those who are deceived by miracles. Those who are deceived by miracles need to hear the gospel. I want to begin here in Acts chapter 8, and I want to begin in verse 4. And as I was reading through this, I don't know if I've ever really made this connection. And I think this is something to think about. Well, because of the persecution, the brethren, the church was scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. And it says in verse 5 that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. In verse number 6, and the people with one accord gave heed to the things which Philip spake, hearing and, listen to this, seeing the miracles which he did. Now I believe the people of Samaria were probably fascinated when Philip performed these miracles. Because Philip wasn't the only one who claimed to perform miracles. Now as you continue to read, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But listen to verse number 9. We read about another individual by the name of Simon that obeyed the gospel. But remember who Simon was? Simon was a sorcerer, okay? Notice verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria. The idea is he tricked people into believing that he was doing amazing things, that he was doing certain kind of miracles using sorcery. It kind of reminds us of the book of Exodus and Pharaoh's magicians. Well, here we're reading about Simon who was practicing this and claiming that he had this power to do certain things, deceiving the Samaritans. Well, the Samaritans saw real miracles when Philip performed miracles, and we see that many in Samaria, including Simon, obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You stop and think about Simon. There are a lot of Simons in our world today. What do I mean by that? There's a lot of Simons that are going around still in the world today saying that they can perform miracles. Performing miracles like our first century brethren, like Philip. And we know that is not true. We know that because of what God has revealed in His Word about miracles. You see, brothers and sisters, we have so much knowledge on subjects like this, and it just amazes me how so many people misunderstand this simple truth of miracles. Oh, there were those who performed miracles in the first century like Philip and like the apostles and like Timothy and like Titus. And it's really a great study. But to really simplify what we're saying, we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and there are so many different contexts that you can turn to, but when we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, really you can go back and do a study of 1 Corinthians 12, and you see those miraculous gifts being listed out in inspiration. And then we see the motivation behind those miracles in chapter 13, and we see the regulation behind those miracles in chapter 14. But we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part, the miracles, listen to the simple language, will be done away with. And so there are a lot of people going around claiming that they can perform miracles, and that's not so. There was a purpose behind the miracles. And you sit down and you study with people about miracles, most won't even understand the purpose of miracles, the confirmatory nature of miracles that we read about in Mark 16, verse number 20. And to me, Acts 8, verse number 7, it is a practical example of that confirmatory nature of miracles that we're talking about. Philip preached and they believed when they saw the miracles. You see, Philip and the apostles, they didn't have the New Testament like we have tonight. They couldn't turn over to the book of Romans or to the book of Revelation. The New Testament was being revealed and the Holy Spirit was guiding the apostles. The apostles were like walking New Testaments. And God gave them this ability, this power to confirm their preaching, their message. We have that message, and that message has been confirmed. And so as we think about our point, lift up your eyes. There are a lot of religious people that need to obey the gospel, that need to hear the gospel. And there are a lot of those who are deceived by miracles that need to hear the gospel. But now let's turn over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. We're going forward. We're actually going to come back here to the middle of Acts here in just a few minutes. But look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Look at verse number 9. Paul says, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things, contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Again, lift up your eyes. Look upon the fields in a very practical way. We see from the book of Acts what that looks like. Religious people, people who are deceived by miracles. But think about this third point. Those who are sincere but in error need to hear and obey the gospel. And I believe Saul of Tarsus probably is one of the greatest examples of what I am talking about. Turn to the book of Philippians, and I want you to consider what Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about his religious upbringing, okay? Verse 5, he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. Listen to this language. And Hebrew of Hebrews. He says, as touching the law, Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Nobody would ever question Paul's sincerity. Paul was sincere as a Pharisee. But you remember what he says there in verse number 9? Again, in verse number 9, I did many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Paul thought that what he was doing when he was arresting Christians, persecuting Christians, Galatians 1 verse 9, he even uses this language, I tried to waste the church. He was being sincere. But sincerity alone, as you know, wasn't enough. Saul of Tarsus was an error. And the Lord met him head on. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, he was persecuting Christians, but when you persecute the people of God, you take it out on Jesus Christ. But Saul, as you know, was converted. He obeyed the gospel. But when we read passages like John 4, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields and turn to the book of Acts, we see what kind of people heard the gospel and obeyed the gospel. Religious people. People who were deceived by miracles. People who were sincere but in error like Saul of Tarsus. Now if you would turn back to Acts chapter 16. And I promise you, tonight I'm not going to mention all of the examples. I know our time is really getting away from us, but all you have to do is go through the book of Acts, a book of conversions, and you see what kind of people were converted. Well, here, Acts chapter 16, verse 30 through 34, we read about the Philippian jailer. In Acts chapter 16, verse number 31, and they said, or in verse number 30, he asked the question in verse number 30, great story behind all of this, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here's a man that is ignorant. He doesn't know what to do to be saved, but he asked the right questions, you see. And we see in verse number 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house. And they took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized he and all his straightway. Notice that again. People who were ignorant of the gospel, heard the gospel, believed the gospel, obeyed the gospel by being baptized into Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more example and then the lesson will be yours. Again, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Again, when we turn to the book of Acts gives us a genuine picture of what that looks like. But perhaps this last one is one that maybe we need to think about a little bit more deeply. Those who have been immoral need to hear and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, the book of Acts is a book of conversions. And here in Acts chapter 18, we see that the apostle Paul went into the city of Corinth. And when he went into the city of Corinth, we know from 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that he preached the gospel. But look at verse number 8. The Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. My question to you tonight is this. What kind of people were the Corinthians? What kind of life did they live prior to obeying the gospel? Well, let's now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse number 9, Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Now listen to this. "Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you," Paul says. "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified." What did they do? How did they become sanctified? How did they become justified? The Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. What kind of people? We're talking about people who were immoral to the core. Those are the kind of individuals that need to hear the gospel. And so when you see an individual and you talk to that individual and you know that they're living in sin, Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." I hope this lesson tonight will encourage all of us to be more evangelistic. Our God has again given us a charge to go into all the world and preach the gospel. When we turn to the book of Acts, we see the kind of people that heard and obeyed the gospel. And I hope that will encourage us to be more evangelistic as we go through this life. The Lord's invitation is always open to those who need to respond. It might be that you need to obey the gospel. It might be tonight that you need to repent of sin, or maybe you need the prayers of the church to be encouraged. We want you to know that we're here for you. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we